David from Mullaney, one of the pastors recently, he asked me to come up and see if I can stir up a few interests. And so I went there because they're having a mission this month. So I went there. Now, some of you who have been to Mullaney know that there are two groups in Mullaney. One is the retired folks. The other one is the New Agers, the New Age. Really, really into it. And so last year then, I went 2 days before Halloween, and I do not know the area. And as I was driving around, I came to this street. Now, some of you have been to Mullaney, know where the hospital is. And I went to that street where the hospital is. And then I went down, and I noticed that there were two houses. This is 2 days before Halloween. And they've already decked up, you know, cobwebs and skeletons and all that kind of stuff. And so I thought, right, okay. So anyway, I drove around. I went and worked somewhere else, and I thought, I'll come back here. So I went back the day before. This is a Halloween day. And, you know, there were 13, 14 houses decked up. It was absolutely incredible. And then in the same street, there was a Masonic lodge there too. And so I thought, right, Lord, I think you want me to work this street today. So I went through the street. Now, the following day, though, when I came back, one of the organizers, I met up with a young guy, you know, he's a university student, and we talk, and I said to him, I said, man, this street here is, you know, a great supporter of Halloween. And he said, you know, he said, last night, he said, we were a little bit down in numbers that came. And you might not believe it, but there were a little bit over 300 kids. They were all over that street, over 300. But he said, it's generally over 400 kids all around. I suddenly realized, my word, that the devil is really out and is getting absolutely kind of grabbing the whole lot of us. Anyway, in that street the day before, I met up with a lady, and she just retired, and as a school teacher, and we had a good talk. I gave her Cloud Tracks, Signs of the Times, and you know, see that bag there? I never go anywhere without any tracks with me. Hardly even go anywhere. And I was looking for one. I looked in, and I didn't see any. And then I put my hand in my pocket, and I came up with Cloud Tracks. But you got good on your pillow. And I know that there are some one or two people here that have done this work. And so praise God for that. But we need to be sowing the seeds right now. We need to be sowing the seed, because God is coming, Jesus is coming. There's no harvest without sowing. No harvest, none whatsoever. You know it in a practical sense that that's how it is. This lady, we had a little chat. She wasn't open. I met another lady, and she shut the door on me. This is when she found out I was a Christian. And this guy, quite a few people, and I was giving out tracts left, right, and center, you know, anything that I thought. I even went to every house there. This time, though, and that was about 4 weeks back when I went back there, I thought, for my last day, I thought I'll go around the street again. Now, you know, the lady that chased me out before, she has forgotten about me because I didn't make a big thing of it, you know, when she chased me away. And this time, she was very open, and we had a great chat and a talk, and I know that she's a New Ager, but you know what, though? And when I gave her something, and she said, which church do you belong to? And I said, Seventh-day Adventist, and I could hardly get the words out of my mouth before she swore at me and chased me down the road. She said, go. She said, go, just go. And I said to her, look, can you just, I really want to make sure it's not a Jehovah's Witness or a Catholic, right? kind of just joking with her. She said, "I know the Seventh Day Adventists, new people. You hate homosexuals." You went through the whole thing, and so she chased me down the road. This other lady that I met the previous year, last year, 6 months earlier. You know what? When I called on her, I could hardly recognize her because we talk on health. And I'm not saying that it's all my talk, but she has lost about 10 kilos, and she welcomed me. And she accepted more things. And for me, that is because the Word of God says that my word will never return void, eh? And for me, then, that's why I'm absolutely excited. I give it out here, there, because I do not know what God is going to do with it. But I still give him out, and I believe. And this lady said to me, she said, "You know, when you come back next time, you make sure you come and have a cuppa with me." And I thought, that is an open arm, accepting. And there's a text, though, that I come across. And since then, I realized the nature of our work, we are like Jesus Christ is a stumbling block. Either we are a stumbling block or a stepping stone. And so for everybody that I've seen, and you know, either they become friends or they become enemies, you know. But yet they've gone somewhere, either coming close or going out. And so when I found that, when I thought that after meeting that lady, I was again all powered up. I want to meet as many people. So I tell you, people that have accepted me in, and we went through, and they said, we are not really into the Seventh-day Adventists, but you hear, and it sounds good, but it's not for us. But for me, they've listened. And that is, for me, it's really something. And of course, they accepted, you know, some of the tracks and all this kind of stuff. And then out of my last visit, though, I met a lady who was a pianist and a violinist. And I said to her, I said, "Look, I'm preaching at a church. And I love you to give you a special item." And she said, "You know what? I'll come. We will come." So they turn up. They give a special item, and then they look down, and there was one of their friends sitting down in the congregation. And so they clicked up, and they said, "We never thought," this is what the Adventist couple, they said, "We never thought that you would step into the church. But here they are," they came. And we had lunch together, and they thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, so it is everything that we kind of do, we never know how God will use it, you know, for his glory. Something happens in my travel around. There's always something that God put into place that makes me go. And so when I was preaching in Mullaney, the week before, I was thinking of going up north. And then I saw this couple sitting there, and I said to them, I said, "You know what, I've been thinking of coming up. You invited me to come up and stay at your place," and they live at Nambour, out that way. And so I thought, and then the next thing is that a friend of mine says, he said, "You know, this is the week after I made up my mind," kind of thing. I was sort of weren't quite sure. And this friend, he rang me and he said, "You know, the time that we were up at Childers," said, "one of the ladies up there want a set of the Bible Reference Library." The Bible Reference Library, for some of you that don't know, it's all the writings of Ellen White in relation to the Bible. You know, Desire of Ages, Great Controversy, Patriarchs and Prophets, all that. And this is one of those books. And so this lady bought the set that was 5 years ago. But she rung at the right time and asked my mate that she wanted another set. And I said, "Lord, you have now put your stamp of approval. You want me to go up. Everything seems to fit." So I went. I went up to Childers, and that was an incredible story. But, you know, when I was up there, I went and saw this lady, and she says, "You know, I really want it, but I can't afford it now." And I thought, "Lord, is this why you brought me up here?" And then I remember the lady that bought a Bible Reference Library for me 5 years ago. And so I thought, I'll go and see her. So I went and saw her. And she only looked at me, and she said, "My word, you came at the right time." And I thought, wow. But she said, "I can't talk to you today. You can come tomorrow. Are you going to be around tomorrow?" I said, "Yeah, I would be. I'll make sure that I'll be there." So I went the following day. And she said to me, she said, "You know, I still think of how you originally stepped into my house." And I said, "I have not forgotten it either." She said, "All my family knows and all my friend knows about it." And this is how I came about. I knock on the door, And straight away she invited me in. I went in and I said, mumbled underneath my breath, and I said, "Man, you guys out here, you are very friendly." And then I went in, sat me down on the seat, and she said, "What would you like?" I said, "Look, I'm a Milo drinker. Have you got any Milo or herbal tea?" And she said, "Yeah, all right, one coming up." And I sat down. She got herself coffee, and then she sat down. And she said to me, she said, "Okay, well, look, I see those windows there? Well, those are the windows that really need fixing." So I thought to myself, "What's happening?" And I said to her, I said, "Look, I got no idea." I said, "The window looks fine to me." I said, "I got no idea." And she said, "Aren't you the window man?" And I said, "No." And she said, "Well," she said, "it looks like I invited the wrong person in." I said, "Yeah, you have." But anyway, I said to her, I said, look, I might as well quickly show you. I said, "I promise you that when the window man comes, I'm out." And the window man did not come until about an hour later after I left, just as I finished. Talk about God. God is just incredible, you know. So anyway, she told me that she just sold a farm. Her husband died about a year before. She decided to move into town. The kids are there. And so she bought the set and told me about her husband come and visit her just about every week. Her husband died, but he comes and visit her every week, every night, and sat on the bed. And I told her, I said, "Look, you might not like what I'm going to say, but if you got any," I said, "it's you had to be careful." And we talk a little bit. So anyway, in the end, she just paid cash for that whole set, plus this book, "Here Today, Tomorrow New." This time, though, when I called on her last week, and she said to me, she said, "You came at the right time." So I went the following day, and she said to me, she said, "You know," she said, "I'm studying with a Jehovah's Witness." She's a lovely lady. I said, "They are beautiful people." And she really knows her Bible. I said, "Well, yeah." I said, she knows I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. I said, "You can compare that." But she said, I have never, there are questions, that things that come to my mind, I can't seem to accept it." She gave me the Bible and it's still in the package. But I said, "I know that when I open that book, it'll be an indication that I've accepted church and I'll probably," she really wants me. And so she shared with me all these questions that you and I, you know, are aware of. And as I shared with her, and I said to her, I said, "You know those books that I got for you last time?" I said, "Those books, you got no idea, those books are gold." And so I asked her to bring the Bible reading, two Bible reading for the home circle out. By the way, the Bible reading for the home circle is about 260, you know, study guides in here. And she went and got it, and we went through it. So I was with her for about two hours. And in the end of it, I said to her, I said, "Look," she said, "I feel really satisfied with what you're just telling me." And she said, and I said to her, I said, "All right, I'll put your books back." You know, she said, "No, please." She said, "Can you leave it on the table? I want to go through it." And then, so it was just Friday, just Thursday, that I was managed to find. I've been running around because, as you know, that we don't really have a church. I mean, we've got a church, but it's a very, very skeleton sort of, and of course, a lot of retired people. The only lady that I met when I was there, because I asked who can I visit, was a 90-year-old lady, but anyway, I managed to. Oh, by the way, when I was there, she said, "This is very strange." She said, "There was a, I'm pretty sure it was from the Seventh-day Adventists at Jin Jin, but there was something in my letterbox. It was some seminars that they are running." And I said, "Look, very likely it will not be us." But she went and got it, and sure enough, you know, it was our church in Jin Jin. They were advertising some health things. So that was absolutely amazing. And everything seems to fit. The timing of it was just incredible. And so when I rung up so I finally traced the minister down. And the minister that looks after Childers is the one that looks after Harvey Bay and Maryborough. And so as I spoke to him, he said, look, he said, no worries. He said, I'm going to make a trip. As a matter of fact, and he's really into the Bible and all that kind of stuff. So he's going to go up there this coming Monday. And the guy from Chin Chin, that are also the head elder from Chin Chin, who put out those things, he would be there. He went over there on Thursday. And I already told the lady, I said to Barbara, you have now become my friend, and I've got a lot more friends, so you're going to have a lot more friends. And I said, and would you be happy for that? She said, no worries. She said, So you know, the church is really kind of helping out. But I tell you what, the Lord God, I can tell you stories. You know, the stories in Belo and Kesia, who's also did a little bit of work, and I'm sure some of you have done the work. Know exactly, you know, what I'm talking about. But this. People out there who are absolutely crying out for the gems that you and I do know, because they need that in order to ground them, in order to give them peace of mind. That's what we have. When I came down then to Karilba and Nambour, and I called to one of the ladies there, and she goes to church, and I don't know, but I was absolutely... I said to her, I said, look, you know, well, she told me about so many churches. I said, look, you know the book that you got, that you already got? There's a chapter here, How Do We Know the True Church? And I went through the chapter in here. And she said to me afterwards, she said, see, it's a good thing, it's her book now, see? And she said to me, she said, you know what? I really have to rethink this now, of me going to this church. So I connected up with Steve. The pastor up there, and so just things are kind of happening, you know. I can tell you stories of what God is doing, you know, in our literature ministry. By the way, if you've got relatives who are not Adventist, and you really want to share something with them, this is the book that is an incredible. It's Today, Tomorrow, New. It's the old Your Bible and You, but of course, it's kind of smartened up, and in here then. It got all those, so it's a very practical book. It talks about the God of the Bible, the God of your life, the God of health, all that kind of stuff. And my daughters, four of them who don't go to church, you know, I've gifted that one. And it's all because I was talking to one lady in Toowoomba with Wendy Kent, and we were working up there, and we came across this Seventh Adventist lady, and then she was crying over her two children who don't go to church. And I said to her, I said, you know what? Look, I tell you, if there's a book that you need, because she doesn't listen to you, but if there's a book, and then I show her this, and I just about kind of choke. And she said, what's the matter? And I said, I've been convicted right now while I'm talking to you. I've got four girls, and I haven't given them a book. And here I am talking to you, so I promise you, they're going to get a book. And she said, well, give me two books too. And so this is one of the books if you want to help. Ellen White says that this Bible reference library, she said that our Adventist family should have this in their homes. I've got all the Desire of Ages, all that in paperback. But I find that with this one here, I can mark it. You know how the paperback ones, you can have a paperback and then you go through it, put your notes in it, and the next thing is that the spine comes off, you know, it breaks up and all that kind of stuff. But in this kind of thing, oh, I'll tell you what, we've got gold here, and praise God for the spirit of prophecy. And so that's, anyway, always a problem when it comes to time. But anyway, yeah. Yeah, look, just one more thing. Our publishing program is going through a revamping thing. So, you know, we've got a regular literature ministry, which is most of you know of, and that is that you just knock on doors and all that, the old way of been doing it, and it's still powerful. And then we've got a jump start, which is, just quick one, in which a lot of our young people, they join in the, you know, path, a lot of young people, and we're going to power that even further. Then we've got a book party, in which... it's kind of a ministry of its own now. It started off like a book party thing, but it's now becoming more very much evangelistic lectures type things in it. So it's a really powerful one. But now the division now wants to move it down, and this is where the excitement is for us, move it down to the church members so that we would be like the pioneering church in which everyone kind of go out. You, some of you who remember, you know, the Sabbath school in the past, where you had to go through this thing, all right, you know, how many Bible studies did you do? How many books did you, how many literature that leaflets that you gave out? All that kind of stuff. So it's kind of really powering, you know, our young people, our church members to do it now. This is the new system is going to roll out, you know, next month. And so so I'm excited about that. You know, in here, and I've actually showed Patty here when I was looking it up, but it's in here, where it says that with this one literature evangelist, there should be 100. And the only way that that's going to happen is that when our church members are involved. And so so for me, I'm absolutely excited, and I do not know, pray about it, but I've asked the conference that we need one person to specifically in developing this in local churches. And I'm kind of praying about it. I was talking to Colin yesterday, but money is short, of course. But which means then that will be like the glow track that is happening in America, where it's absolutely going out. The young people are moving out. They're going everywhere. You know, the success of the of our mission, the first evangelistic thing in Japan, was all comes down to prayer. And then, of course, the host of young people, they call it the youth rush, would go out, and then there would go about 30 or 40 of them three times, and they would go out for a month. And you know what they do? They just go out there and knock on the door and say, come on. And I said, look, you know, we want to, we are here to make people happy. We give literature, this and that. But you look very sad, so let us sing you a song. Oh, and then they would sing a song. And they were these young people, you know. They would sing a song. And then some of them, they shed tears. Some of them, they said, I have never, no one has ever done this to me, kind of thing. And that, and this is Japan, right? A very circular society. But the young people are so bold, they just get out there and do it, you know? And that's what it is. And the sort of youth rush. It all has to do with this thing. And that is the church are powered up so that we will go out there and finish the work by the help of the Holy Spirit. You know, powered us through the Holy Spirit. Well, I know that I'm absolutely going to cut back on my little talk, but I will kind of really highlight all the right stuff here. Yeah, thank you. Let me have a little prayer. Father, I just want to pray, Lord, that you will open our minds to your word, not only here, but worldwide, as your people are preaching, as your people are listening to your word. I pray, Lord, at the end of this, Lord, that they were greatly empowered. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, look, I know that the greatest thing that we need now is faith. The one that stops us is this fear. This fear. So I want to talk about faith and fear, and I want to use this incredible story of David and Goliath. Many of you have preached this sermon about David and Goliath, but I want to kind of twist it a little bit, and so that it will, I will give you my own little thoughts on it in relation to this. You know, in the Bible, 2 Timothy 3:16, and I just want to highlight some of these things before I launch into this, and that is, you know the text. If someone got it, can you read it out? So everything in the Bible is in relation to that, right? Every story that is in the Bible is in relation to this. And so this story, it is not just a story per se, even though it's absolutely exciting ever since we're toddlers, right through, and even now, it's absolutely incredible. So as I mentioned, I will be using the story of David and Goliath in relation to this. You know, I believe that living our lives today comes down to two perspectives. One, the first one is a natural human one. It's just a natural thing, and that is the one that leads to fear. So you see a dog. That's why many people don't do this alley work. Or you think of the money side, so you fear of the money because, you know, it needs money to live. And so the fear of that, you alone at night getting robbed, health issues. Many of us have health issues, financial situations. So many of us are kind of fearful because of the natural fear kind of thing that comes from it. The other one, though, and that is the God's perspective. And that is by faith. That is by faith. This one here, of course, that we have to work it. The Bible says that our fight is what? The fight of faith. This is the only fight that we have to do. It's a fight of faith. We have to continually work on this. And you know what it says, that faith worketh by hearing of the word of God, right? It all comes down to this incredible thing of the work of the Word of God, the study of the Word of God. And I tell you, I thank God for the way that He leads the our church, in which the main thing now is revived by His Word, believe His prophets, fellowship of prayer, and then of course the evangelism side. And even now with total member involvement. So these are the two main perspectives. Depending then on where you are at there and how you are feeding that, that's where I believe that where we would stand in good situation. There are some text here. Before I actually went into it, I want to use this text to show you how and why in relation to faith. So you can look up 1 Samuel 16 at verse 7, and this is what it says. You can look it up. But it says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. Here's a key point. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outside appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So this is the perspective of God, and that is God looks into your heart. He looks into your heart. And if we continue on with that, Zechariah 4, verse 6 there, and it says, and he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It is not by beauty, it is not the strength, it is not by education, it is not by all the great plans that we made, even though we're going through some of these plans, we need it. But God said, it's not all that, even though that is necessary. But it is the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God that will do it. So for us here in our beautiful church here, whatever you are planning, sometimes you might think that it will never happen. You can't cross the T, dot the I. You can't make things balance. But then that's where faith starts. That's where faith starts. That's when we step out. And that's where God will come through. And if we look at 2 Corinthians 5, 7, for we live by faith and not by sight. For we live by faith. This is a lifestyle thing, isn't it? This is a lifestyle. So we can say, I'm a healthy lifestyle. This one, it aces that. It is by faith. Now, you can't put that into textbook. No one understands that. It's only you and I that understand that. That we live by faith. And then I think Luke 18, verse 8. I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? If you look at this chapter, the first verse and all that, it talks about God saying the importance of prayer, connection with Jesus. So he told this parable, that parable, and then in the end of that, then he virtually say, this is what's going to happen. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Find faith on earth. And so, so on that then, I want to go on our scripture reading. And so you can turn now to our scripture reading, which is 1 Samuel 17, 38 and 47. And so instead of listening to the promises of God and praying, that they were listening to Goliath. 40 days. This is a brainwashing thing. And with all the threats and the things that he was saying about the God of Israel, and this is what he was going. It was a mind-changing exercise. And controlled by Satan, absolute fear was a result. And this is just a one-way mind control exercise. And as I mentioned, there are two perspectives in here. So that was the... So that's one side. Two sides in the perspective in the camp of Israel. The king and the whole army of Israel. And then the next one is David, the shepherd boy. So the one side is the king and the whole army of Israel are completely fearful. And then the other side then is David, the shepherd boy. You know, as we go through, you know, our text, it is so absolutely incredible to see, you know, how God was leading David. By the way, that first one, because of the fact that they were there for 40 days. You know, there was no progress. They did not even move anywhere. And I put down here, one way of fighting a giant And that is, don't procrastinate. Don't procrastinate. Just like how the children of Israel did. They've heard him, they listened, they went out there, and the more they listen, the more fearful that they become. And I want to just talk a little bit about this mind control. That's what the devil is doing now. Absolutely doing now. He is the war now is between our minds, isn't it? Would you agree with that? It is for our minds. And there are so many things that he used to control us through that. And it is not a secret for all of us to know that through television, and we can see how many channels there are that you can flick from here to there. You can watch that all day long. And here the devil will control your mind with all the negatives to it. When it comes to the smartphones, this is another incredible big mind control thing, especially for our young people, even some of us. God is controlled, the Satan is controlling our minds. I was listening to one series of lectures, then I followed it up. And some of you might, if you want to, you can look this guy up. But his name is Tristan Harris. Tristan Harris, he was in charge of Google's marketing thing. He was a very brilliant scientist. And then he realized what is happening to the minds of young people everywhere. And so he broke away from that and he started to come up with things that will try and counteract that. The difference is now, as he says, the difference with us, the technology that we have today, is that there are hundreds and hundreds of scientists, neurologists, scientists of the mind, that are out there that are studying the brain, studying you and I, studying how to grab you. And so, for example, then if you look at something on, let's say, YouTube, you know, immediately after that, there'll be another thing that will come in. Another thing that will just come in automatically, so that will just tie you up. And it's just incredible. So when I listened to this guy and actually read some of the things in relation to him, I realized that this is an absolute mind control thing that you and I, we've got no idea what is happening. And the only thing that will stop us from it is the Word of God. It is the only thing. And I can give you my own personal testimony. And that is, I am an addict in personality. You know, if I play squash, I will pay for the whole thing, and then I'll go perhaps every morning or something. And so when it comes to TV, you know, I used to watch TV through and through. When I was a young person, a friend of mine, a friend and I would go to the, we used to go to a college, Longburn College in New Zealand, there in Palmerston North. But when we finished college, we'll go out. You know what? We will sit in the theater there for a whole day, and so it was a mind controlling thing. And but until the Word of God sort of infected me in a beautiful way, now I find it gradually. I hardly watch anything. I just find the Word of God so much more powerful, and it kind of makes you alive, and it kind of protects me from some of this. And the other side is David. And, you know, David was unmoved by the reputation and size of Goliath, even though Goliath was so big, and even his reputation sort of way up there. But yet, it did not move David. His one passion was to prove to all the earth that there is still a God in Israel. You know, who will not be defied. It's one great big... And so the second rule when it comes to dealing with the devil, with a giant in your life, and you know what? I'm preaching it, but I've tried it too. And that is when I know it, when I feel it, I get straight into it and do it. And second rule then, as far as dealing with the giant, is face it now. No procrastinate. No retreat. Face it. After all, it says that in relation to faith, that our faith must be what? Unto death. Right? That's what it says in one of the messages to the seven churches. That our faith must be unto death. And but if we look at verse 40 of chapter 17, this is what it says. I cannot hear David was saying to Saul, look, I can't walk on this. I can't walk on this. This is not me. So David took them off. And isn't that a beautiful lesson there? You know, you heard it all before, but let me remind you and me. You fight in your own armor. You fight on who you are. Whoever you are, you know, sometimes you think that you've got no talent. But look, you find that thing in you and then you fight on that. That's what David did. David did. I mean, this is absolutely crazy, isn't it? That here he's fighting the champion of the world. And yet, he said, look, I can't fight on this. The only thing that keeps him like that on that perspective is because of God. The Spirit of God in him. And here he is saying in verse 40, he says, then he took his staff in his hand and he chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had. You know, in the King James Version, one of the words that it uses is a crib. Some of the thing I can't pronounce, you know. Samoan tongue I've got. A crib. C-R-I-P. And when I look that up, it virtually kind of say, this is his badge, this is his identification, this is him, you know? So what he's saying, he's virtually saying, look, I am no warrior like him, I'm just a shepherd boy. I am just a shepherd boy. Here's my rod, here's my pouch, I'm going to fight you with this. Nothing. So there's nothing to recommend him as a warrior. Thus, it was a real mockery to Goliath. Here he is coming as he is. It was a mockery to Goliath. It was a mockery to their god Dagon. It was a mockery to the whole Philistine army. A boy, 17, could be a little bit older. 17, and untrained, unprotected. It's everything in the world, unprotected. But here he's coming to fight the greatest champion in the world. And then it says in look at verse 38 and 47. But anyway, we can continue on with, and the Philistine, oh yeah, and when the Philistine looked down, 42, when the Philistine looked down about and saw David, I guess that he was looking around to see if he could find that this is just a decoy. You know, this would be a great man following him. And for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? So just a stick. I kind of think of, wood. Jesus died on the cross. It was the whole mockery to everything, the salvation of mankind, the God of heaven, and here he is, just wood. God always says, don't use any beautiful polished stones for altar, just use the natural thing, the natural stones. And so and it says the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and javelin. Remember some of the texts that we read? It is not by might, nor by power. It is not by the sword, by the spear, by javelin. It is not by your education. It is not by your money. It is not by anything that you do have. Nothing. It's not that. It is never that. The finishing of God's work will never be dependent on you and me. The only thing that we have to do is fight that fight of faith. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, and the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And look at a statement of faith. Wow. 46, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. He will deliver you into my hands. And I will strike you and take your head from you. What a statement of incredible faith. What a statement. You can say, look, I'm going to take over here. I'm going to take over Bo Desert for God. It's not impossible, you know. It's impossible. I know we're all in the same boat. But we read many stories of when someone says, Lord, give me this place. Give me this place. Give me my neighbors. Or give me... So that's... So the third rule is, in faith, turn your fear into love. In faith, we fight by faith, and we fight by love. We are dealing with our lesson this quarter. This is how we fight it. We fight by faith, and we fight by love. And we turn, love. There is no fear in love. Love is given opportunity to reveal the love and justice of God. God is a focus. Love God with all your heart. Exactly what happened to David. Because of incredible love to God, he can't help but move forward with some incredible power. This is just a summary of what we've been talking about. You know what? We are fighting a real fierce battle now. We are not fighting a physical champion. We are fighting something worse. As you can see there, perhaps we can read it together. Let's start 4. Sure. And then verse 13. Just looking at that, you know who we're fighting now. It is not Goliath now, it's something worse. We are fighting the devil himself. We are fighting the devil himself. And the only armor that we have is the Word of God. The powerful, incredible power of the Word of God. We've got no idea how powerful the Word of God is. Some of us, we do. Yeah, we do. Some of us, we have experienced it. That when you step out in faith and how God will come through. I can tell you many stories. I'm sure you can share many stories yourself. You're going overseas. I was thinking that when we went overseas with my wife, I can't help but put in, because we were away for 32 days, I put in 32 Great Hope books in my bag. It was heavy. My wife said, what have you got here? And I said, it's just heavy. She said, we're going to pay. You know what? We did not pay a single cent. We went through. And I do not know, but one of these days when Jesus comes, I want to follow through those books that I've given out. What God has done. Just a little thing on faith. But God came through, you know, and our fight is a fight of faith. It's a fight. Our weapon is the Word of God. You know, anyway, you've seen that. It's a story I was going to tell you about this lady here. Her fight of faith is to go to the doors. As you can see, she's the blackest person, she's black, absolutely black. Elsie, but oh, her personality is absolutely. You know, when I first started her off in the alley work, this was up in Townsville. You know, the very first door, I got her to do the introduction at the door. You know, the guy did not like her at all. You know, did not like her at all, did not like her color, did not like her. And then me behind her. And she swore at her. She said, "You think you can come here?" And very much like Goliath did. "You think you can come here and you tell me how to be healthy? You should go to your own people." It was absolutely terrible. And I said to Elsie, I said, "Elsie, praise God that I'm with you. That I'm with you when we're doing this. Because I can tell you, it is not you that cop that. It is Jesus, you know. It is you." But I tell you, this lady, she brought a few people in through her literature ministry. And when she goes to the door, like, I tell you, you've got no idea how black she is. But you know, we went to one home there, and kids came to the door, the host, and they all cry, kind of. But I remember we went to Mount Isa there, and she's good at playing the ukulele. And oh, this whole street, there were a lot of Aboriginal kids, and I said, "Elsie, you be the Sabbath school kind of leader, right? Every evening, you know, you get the ukulele out." And that's what we did. She'd get the ukulele out and she'll pray and say, "Come to Auntie Elsie. Come to Auntie Elsie." And the kids love her, you know. And so they come. But this is what faith is. You know, she just went in faith and do it, you know. You know, there are so many promises. I thought it was 5,000 promises in the Word of God in the Bible. But I heard Mark Finlay say there's over 7,000 promises, actual promises in the Word of God, the actual ones. But you look at what God says in relation to all these promises. Perhaps we can read the first, the first one. Can we read the first one? "For all..." I'm sure it's your favorite text. Let's read the New International Version. Can you read the Christ Object Lesson, page 146? Wow. Isn't that amazing? That is my prayer for us today. And that is to know that for all the promises of the Bible, in Him I, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God. And I can imagine if Paul was reading the second one, he would say, "God has made, they are yes in Jesus Christ. They are yes." And then Christ's object is, God stand back of every promise He has made. We are coming to that time now where a lot of Christians are getting killed around the world. Israel for Life stood up. And I know that God is using him. But our time is coming. Our time is coming. And we need, this is the fight that we have. And that is that we are fighting the devil, and he's absolutely enraged. And he's coming for you and I. And we need our faith to be a faith unto death, that like David, instead of running the opposite direction, when the time came, he ran to Goliath and fight him and destroyed him through the name of Jesus. It's my prayer. Our loving Father, which art in heaven, we want to thank you for all the incredible blessings that you have given to us. Sometimes we are not aware of them. Sometimes we don't give you glory to it. But I know, Lord, that you have given so many blessings, and we want to thank you for it. And Lord, we know that you are faithful, faithful in the past, and you are faithful now. And I know that you will be absolute faithful right through
until you come. And I pray, Lord, that you'll bless your people here. Help us, Lord, to read your word more and have trust more in you, and be able to step out and through the leading of your Holy Spirit, finish the work that you have entrusted to us. And this is our prayer. We pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.